Let's take our Bibles over to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Our theme this year has been rooted in Christ. Rooted in Christ. A need which we certainly have to be rooted in Christ. And let's say these verses together on the wall here, on our banner, Colossians 2, 6, and 7. Let's say it with the reference, all right? Colossians 2, 6, and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. This morning we're gonna look at being rooted in His holiness. Being rooted in His holiness. Let's notice Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that verse 2 again. Would you read it with me? Colossians chapter 1, verse 2, together. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The saints and faithful brethren, rooted in His holiness. When we think about being a Christian, being a believer, we really... There's three aspects to the believer's life, and let's just get them all on the table, all right? One, two, and three, all right? Number one, who I was, or excuse me, it's a question actually. Who was I before Christ? Who was I before Christ? Who am I in Christ? And who am I for Christ? Who was I before Christ? Who am I in Christ? And who am I for Christ? Before I knew Christ, let's notice over here, I'll read a couple other verses just as we talk about being saints and faithful brethren. Let's notice verse 10, Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says that ye might walk, what does it say? How do we walk? Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This was the apostle's prayer, and this is really God's desire for us, for every believer, that we would walk worthy. All right, notice now also verse 21 and 22 of this first chapter, verse 21. And you that were sometimes, what's that next word? Alienated. And, next word, enemies in your mind by, next two words, by wicked works. Yet now hath he, next word, reconciled. Hey, who was I before Christ? I was an enemy of God. I was, what does this verse 21 describe us as? Alienated, right? Alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet, now, present tense, hath he reconciled. We've been made right with God. We have been made saints. Who I was before Christ was really bad. I was destined for just judgment in hell. But who am I in Christ? Well, I have become a saint. I am a saint. Not all Christians are saintly, but the Bible calls Christians saints. We are set apart for the Lord. So we see that here. So as we think about being rooted in Christ, we see these different aspects: who I was before Christ, who I am in Christ, and then really, who am I for Christ? Who am I for Christ? God didn't save us. He didn't make us saints just to be saints. There is purpose of which he has reconciled us to himself. You know, the amazing thing is that whenever someone comes in contact with God, whenever someone opens their heart to the Lord, their life is forever changed. There were people who, when Jesus in the flesh walked on this earth, there are people who came in contact with him who were not changed because of unbelief, things like that, hardness of heart. But those who opened their heart to the Lord, those who had faith in Jesus, they were forever changed. The same is true today in our lives. We are forever changed. I think of Isaiah in chapter 6, when he describes what he saw. When he saw the Lord after King Uzziah had died, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he saw all those things, and he said, this is what he said, he said, "I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And one of the seraphims took with tongs a hot coal off of the altar and brought it to Isaiah's mouth and put it on his tongue and said, "Thine iniquity is cleansed." And so he was purified, figuratively, in that illustration of what he saw, but he was purified because of the sacrifice that was on the altar there and his part in it, his connection with it. And the same with us. I am unholy. I am unworthy, but for Christ. And when we think about being rooted in Christ, the reality is that when we are in Christ, we are placed into Christ's holiness. We are made holy. The believer is made holy. This is positional holiness. Positional holiness. I have been made holy. But there's also practical holiness. I think we see both of them in verse 2 here of chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. To the, what's the first group? These groups overlap, certainly. But what is the first group? To the saints, all right? Those who are saved. All saved people are saints. And what's the next group? Faithful brethren. Now, every faithful brother is also a saint, but perhaps not all the saints are faithful brethren. Sometimes saints don't live saintly. It's possible. So we see two aspects. We see my positional holiness as a saint in Christ, but you see practical holiness. Am I a faithful brother? Am I a faithful sister? Let's notice over here chapter 1 and verse 21 and 22. We notice that we were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So we have here my positional holiness, that I was, verse 21, but I've been reconciled. Now I am, verse 22, and it's important, if I'm going to be a faithful brother, a faithful brethren, I need verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. There must be that walking in the word, walking in the way, keeping the faith, going forward with the Lord in being a faithful brother. All right? So we are rooted in his holiness, sometimes alienated, now complete in the Lord Jesus. Please notice down here in verse 28, Colossians 1, verse 28, whom we preach, that is Jesus, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Perfect in Christ Jesus. Complete in him. The believer is made complete in Christ. When we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are placed in Christ. We are partakers of his holiness. We are made perfect. We are made fit for heaven. Notice verse 29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Verse 29, you see Paul's cooperation with God. There's different aspects here of my life. You see, I can be a Christian and not be practically holy. Positionally, I can be holy because of Christ. But when we talk about being rooted in Christ, there's these elements of not only who I am in Christ, but who am I for Christ? I must yield myself to God. Notice these aspects again. Let's go to chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Here we have another if clause. If ye then be risen with Christ. All right, who is that? That's the ones who are saved, who have trusted Jesus as their Savior. They are made holy. They are redeemed by the blood of Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, verse 5, therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. Here we have some sexual sins and uncleanness. We have inappropriate desires, inordinate affection. We have evil concupiscence, which is a craving for the forbidden. And we have covetousness, which is the desire of stuff, things, earthly treasures, which is idolatry. For which things the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. And so we see God writes to the believer and says, hey, listen, it's not enough for you to just say, hey, I've trusted Christ as my Savior, I have received him, and I am saved. God says there's more to it than that. Yes, you're saved, but God saved you for something. He saved you for a purpose. And that's point number 3. Who am I for Christ? What am I going to be for Christ? God says here that we need to set our affection on things above. If we're risen with Christ, We need to have our focus on the heavenly things, which are the holy things. You see, holy, something that is holy, is set apart for what? Sacred use. Set apart. It's not just set apart. You know, we've set some things apart. What do? We put them in our closet, on the top shelf, you know? Set apart. But it's not for use. You see, God didn't make us to be set on a shelf to collect dust. He set us apart for sacred use. And if we stop at salvation and just knowing Christ as our Savior, knowing that we have a home in heaven, but we aren't yielding ourselves to do the will of God, we're midstream, we're midway in His purpose of holiness, of us being not only set apart, but of being a faithful brother, faithful to the Lord, faithful to His word. Notice again here in chapter 3, God says in verse 5, mortify your members which are upon the earth. And then in verse 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. God says these are things that don't belong in the believer's life. You see, practical holiness, not only positional holiness, I'm in Christ, Christ is in me, I am a saint, but am I a faithful brother? Am I doing the will of God? Am I set apart for sacred use? That I am doing that sacred usefulness? Am I a useful Christian? This plays out in not only, you see, holiness isn't about, it's not only about what we don't do, it's about what we do. It's not just who we aren't. Oh, I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a, you know, whatever, you name it. I'm not that. But what am I? Well, I'm a saint. I'm saved by the blood of Christ. Well, praise God. But we have to, you know, life is short. And God saved us for a purpose. And the purpose is to serve Him. The purpose is to live for Him. And to be that vessel that is prepared unto every good work. Practical, godly living. It's not about just what we don't do, but it's about what we do. It's about the focus of our life. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. You see, the things above are holy. They are godly. And so our lives should be pursuing the things of God, living for Christ. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. The Apostle Paul, in his letter here to the Corinthians, to the Corinthian Christians, he says, I like an architect, like a master builder. I have come in, I've laid it out for you. I preached the gospel. I explained it clearly how that it's Christ alone. He died for your sins, and And Paul says that here. He says, as a master builder, I laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. What is the foundation? Well, it explains that in the next verse, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is, who is it? Jesus Christ. The foundation of our Christian life, it's not, you know, man, my performance level is really good, and that's why I'm going to heaven. No! It's not based on my performance. It's not based on really on who I am. It's based on who He is. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the life giver. He's the one who has reconciled aliens to Himself, who through wicked works were against God. He's the one who made the provision for us to get right with God. And so now that I'm no longer an alien but a citizen, and no longer an enemy but a friend, or a child, a son, I really should say. Now that I'm no longer an enemy but a son, Paul says, take heed how you build. All right, so we have a construction illustration for the Christian life and for who I am for Christ, really. What I'm doing since salvation. Verse 10, here he says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Once we're saved, our life is a construction project. The days of our life, what are we going to do with with the foundation that's laid, with who we are? What are we going to do? Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The fire here mentioned in verse 13 is not the fires of hell. It's not the lake of fire. This isn't the judgment fire of hell. But it rather is a refining fire. Just like gold and silver are put into the furnace in the refining process to see what level of gold it is, to determine the quality. And you know, when you put that through the furnace and that gold is put into a molten state, a liquid state, and the corruptions come to the top and can be removed. Well, that's what God says. There's a day coming when our life and the work of our life, whatever it was that was built upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus as our Savior, it's going to be put into the furnace. The day is going to declare it. The great day when we stand before God. That great day when I think the term day is illustrative of the light, the sunshine, when the lights are shown on every dark corner of our life and see what it really is. You know, sometimes you look at something, you can't quite see what it is, and you say, hey, I need some more light. Look at it a little closer so we can get an accurate vantage point of it. And God says here, every man's work, verse 13, shall be made manifest. It's going to be shown for what it is, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And so we go back to verse 12. We can build things with wood, and they can look really nice. And God's not against actual construction with wood, but illustratively of our life, we can build things that look really nice. I think of the foolish man who built his house on the sand, right? I mean, I'm sure his house looked nice. I'm sure that, you know, there's every reason to believe it looked pretty good. But when the storm came and the wind blew and the flood arose, it was destroyed. So what is our life built on? Well, we're building on the Lord Jesus Christ. But what are we building? Is it our personal efforts, personal ambitions, instead of obedience to Christ and really being faithful to the Lord? That day will declare it, whether it's wood or hay or stubble. It'll go up in smoke. But if it's gold, silver, and precious stones, you see, the unique thing is that whenever gold is put through the furnace, it always comes out better. In fact, in the purification process, a lot of times, 7 times is the desired times of going through the furnace, going through the molten, skimming, cool-down process. 7 times that gold or that silver is tried. Why? When it goes through the fire, if your life, if you have not only trusted Christ as your Savior, but if we are seeking to live for Christ, on that day, all of the things that were done in yieldedness to God and in the power of Christ, all those things, all those labors, all those workings that were in God's ability, in obedience and subjection to Christ, those things, when tried in the furnace, they will come out the better, the purer. They will be seen for what they are. And any minor impurities will come to the surface and be disposed of, and that which is good will remain. But for the wood and the hay and the stubble, when those go through, there is nothing but ash left behind. And as we think about holiness, living for Christ, God is looking for us to not be on-the-shelf Christians, but engaged in the Master's work. Faithful brethren, faithful brethren, we must be faithful. Notice 1 Corinthians here, chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. Rooted in holiness. We've been saved from that enemy, alienated position to a son and a saint. But we've not been saved to be a son and a saint just to be that, but to live for Christ. To go farther, to utilize that, and to be a faithful steward, a faithful steward. And so in your life, what will we do with what He's done for us? What will we do with what He's done for us? He gave His all for us. Is it not fitting for us to truly be that vessel that is set apart and involved in His sacred work? Our life can be used in no better way than to do the will of God daily. Holiness isn't about just a position. It's about a practical living for Christ. For Christ. In 1 Corinthians, notice verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon. Built upon what? on the foundation of Christ as his Savior, right? If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon. So here's descriptive of somebody who worked out their own salvation, right? They made use of it. They were engaged in doing something for Christ. They farmed their farm, right? They used their farm, as it were. They didn't just have the farm. They used the farm. They weren't just like the steward that buried his treasure in a napkin. They used the treasure. They made use of their position in Christ in a practical way. And so we notice verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall, read it with me, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall, next two words, suffer loss. Suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And so, consider the seriousness of our life. Holiness isn't about just who I am in Christ, although that's a glorious truth, that a sinner like me can be saved. But we haven't been set apart to collect dust. We have been set apart for sacred use. Being rooted in his holiness isn't about just what I don't do, but it's about what I do do. It's about how I live my life. It's not just about the things I've with God's help, taken off. It's about what I've put on. It's about who I am for Christ and how Christ is seen in how I live. And so, rooted in his holiness, think about those aspects, and let's be what God wants us to be. Let's walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1:10. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your great plan of redemption. Thank you for what you have done for us, providing your only begotten Son, that we might be saved, that aliens and enemies by wicked works, that we could be reconciled with a holy God as you are. Lord, I pray that you would help us to not just dwell in a reconciled place, but to recognize we've been reconciled for a purpose, and that the days of our life here on this earth are for service, of use to the Master, being set apart for sacred use. Help us to be what you want us to be for Christ. I thank you for this and the challenge it is to our life, that we might be not only described as saints, but also as faithful brethren. I love you, Lord, and help us to keep our sights set upon you and upon the work that you have for our life, day in and day out. In Jesus' name, amen.